It's a windy September day in northern Illinois, a great day to make some electricity. I'm standing as close to wind turbine number 108 in southern DeKalb County, as close as I can get without trespassing, that is. It's one of 145 turbines in this farm. I can see about 20 of the massive white structures from here. The windblown September corn is rustling loudly here, but not as loudly as turbine number 108, which sounds a little like a jet flying high overhead. That sound is one reason this renewable source of energy is controversial. If you've driven along any rural highway in northern DeKalb County in the past year, you've seen the signs in yard after yard. A stylized wind turbine with a circle and a slash over it. No wind farm. Proposals to build one, maybe two industrial farms in the area prompted the DeKalb County Board to start the process of creating a wind power ordinance to regulate the siting and specs of any future projects. The wind farm in the southern part of the county was built nearly a decade ago under a less stringent special use permit. Kevin Hickey is a retired sheriff's deputy whose southern DeKalb County home is surrounded by turbines. He counts five within a half mile of his house. In July, he spoke at a county zoning committee meeting to warn officials about how his life has changed since the wind farm was built in 2009.
We have annoying shadow flicker. We can't sleep with open windows. We pay larger utility bills. We're operating fans, furnaces, and air conditioning units that are going to need costly repairs and premature replacement. We have spent thousands of dollars on tree moving and building improvements. I'm here to tell you there are negative impacts with this decision.
To hear the guy stand up there and make that speech, I mean, it made my stomach just all queasy and upset.
Brad Bellinger says he listens to Kevin Hickey's speech every time he sits down in his office to work on wind farm issues. Bellinger is a member of Concerned Citizens for DeKalb County, a group organized in opposition to the proposed wind farm.
I don't want to say it's torn his life up, but it has severely impacted his life, financially, lifestyle, etc. And it all could have been addressed with a zoning ordinance that looked at the health, welfare, and property rights of the residents.
Lisa Bergeron is another very active member of Concerned Citizens for DeKalb County.
We are not anti-wind. We absolutely are all for and support renewable energy. We do feel, however, that the size and scope of these wind projects are getting so large and so complicated with problems and issues that they're best sited in appropriate places.
So what is an appropriate place? For starters, the nation has a wind corridor, which runs from Minnesota to Texas, including Illinois. That means wind speeds are high enough and consistent enough to make it worthwhile for a company to invest millions to build and maintain a wind farm. Then there's a lot more to consider beyond the wind map. Are local governments receptive to the project? Can you find enough landowners to host these massive structures? Chanel Montana is with EDF, the international company looking to build a wind farm in northern DeKalb County. She says micro-siting is an important step.
And it's when we are able to actually go in the field, go to each location that we're proposing a turbine, and we have with us our anthropologist and our biologist and our sound experts and our shadow experts and our construction experts and say, okay, this is where we're proposing it. What are we missing?
Montana says it's also important to put the turbine in the right place to minimize bird and bat kills. She says they consult with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and stay away from wetlands and protected wooded areas. There's technology in the works to shut down turbines when large flocks approach or during sensitive migration times. Montana says EDF is willing to work with companies and governments developing that technology, which she says is not commercially available now. Birds do die, and often gruesomely, when they hit the spinning blades. Bats, too. And it's hard to tell how many, according to Kathy Stelford. She's the founder of Oaken Acres, a local wildlife rehabilitation center. That's because there's almost nothing left when a small animal hits a turbine.
I don't even see wind turbines anymore. I just see dead animals.
One of the birds that Stelford says survived ended up at Oaken Acres. Oaken Acres operations director Sandy Waltman opens the huge walk-in cage where Freddie lives.
So Freddie's right here. We'll go in, but he's probably going to jump down.
The young male bald eagle was dubbed Freedom Freddie by the people who found him sitting on a stump in their yard. Part of his wing had to be amputated.
So again, it's just unfortunate, this huge, magnificent bird, and he can't fly.
Now he poses warily, keeping one eye on us and the other on a rat he disemboweled on the cage floor. His rehab cost thousands already, and now he's a lifer at Oaken Acres, learning to tolerate people so someday he can be an ambassador for everything from wildlife rehabilitation to advances in wind energy. Stelford says she thinks wind energy's great, but its time hasn't come yet at the industrial level. She says bladeless turbines are the future she wants to see.
It's at least something that doesn't cause the noise so much, doesn't cause the flicker that is so problematic for some people, would probably decrease the amount of loss on their property value. And in my case and my bailiwick, it wouldn't kill birds and bats.
EDF Representative Chanel Montana says turbine technology is always advancing, but the bladeless designs that exist aren't viable for industrial wind energy. They produce kilowatts of power, and companies are looking for megawatts to send to the electrical grid. Carrie Shepard is policy director for the Illinois Environmental Council, a nonprofit representing 70 environmental-related groups in the state. He says it comes down to cheaper energy with less reliance on coal and natural gas, which are known to destroy wildlife habitats.
So it is possible that there is somewhat of an offset with respect to the impact on bird and bat populations in our state. But it's very important that we consider the whole picture there and ask ourselves what actually is best for the natural environment when we're deciding where our electricity should come from.
Last year, wind power made up a little more than 6% of Illinois' electrical supply. That's the equivalent of 1 million homes being powered by wind, according to the American Wind Energy Association. To reach the Illinois goal of 25% renewable energy by 2025, there needs to be a boom in large-scale wind and solar. Shepard says the state is on the right track.
There definitely is plenty of room left in the state of Illinois to continue developing wind, and because it is a clean energy source, we definitely hope to see that development continue over the course of the next 10 to 15 years.
So back at turbine number 108 in southern DeKalb County, the wind keeps blowing like this, there'll be a bumper crop of proposals for wind in this part of the Midwest. I'm Susan Stevens.